The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Sports, Underdog Podcasts, whatever you want to call them. That's the partner that we have, the partnership, very good partnership. You can also find us on Podcast One. You're listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, what's going on, my friend?
Well, hello, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I am doing well. As everybody knows, we're kind of right at the end of the season, so this is one of the last plugs you'll have to hear, but the Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide is out.
Cool.
So, yeah. It's going pretty well. The free updates are there. I am going like crazy on these NFL, you know, basically preseason games. We'll talk a little bit about, just a very little bit about, you know, preseason and how it relates. We're going to be talking AFC West today, which is very good.
Very competitive division.
Very competitive division.
Yeah.
We were going to have a special guest on this week, but that didn't pan out. I think it'll pan out a little bit later, but that's why we don't make announcements, because this thing tends to happen a lot in the podcasting world. You know, if somebody says it'll be on and then they don't. So, but that's all good, because it doesn't interrupt or lengthen our show out. We get to get right to the good stuff today, which is always a fun thing. Also, by the way, just a quick thing. If you are a new listener, please subscribe. We release these podcasts. It's the football season, so Brad and I are going to be talking a lot about gambling in fantasy sports for the next, what, 4 months here, Brad? 5 months, whatever it is.
Just about five glorious months.
It is beautiful. It's a beautiful time of year. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at TFS underscore Sean. That's S-E-A-N. So it's T as in the functional sportsaholic, T as in Tom, TFS underscore Sean, S-E-A-N. You can also find me on Instagram that same way. I'd appreciate the follow, and I'm pretty interactive there. So if you have any thoughts or comments on the show, please do. And then also, big news, Brad, we have launched Underdog TV. If you go to YouTube and search for Underdog TV, you can find the logo with a dog.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So we launched that channel this week. You can find a lot of me and Brad talking. It's basically just me. I'm kind of managing the channel right now. But if you're regular listening to the show, we are going to be releasing new content, video content, all that stuff. Brad and I are going to release a couple new shows this season. I'm going to release some new shows. So there's going to be content. It's not just this podcast. It's going to be basically everything that you can see. And we don't even release this full podcast on YouTube. So you can find us on all areas. All right. So let's just get on with it. You know, I was looking Brad, I'm going to be there in like a week. We're talking about the NFL or the college football season. I see I was looking at Bovada Sportsbook.com. Hawaii's a home underdog. We're getting into those kind of early games, but I'm going to be out there pretty early on, which is awesome.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know.
Don't be a bad influence on me now, all right?
Yeah, I know. I can't
just drink whiskey all night like you, okay? But I can be convinced very, very easily.
I know. I think I fly into Orlando on, what is it? I fly into Orlando on Friday. I will be spending the night in Orlando. I drive down to Miami the next day, because we're going to be doing some of the YouTube stuff, like figuring out kind of where in your apartment we're going to film and all that stuff. You know, we got some basically background stuff to do for some of these shows that we're going to be launching there. Basically, I'm going to get there in the afternoon. We're going to do a quick check on Bovada, see what the odds are that day, and we'll make our bets, and then we'll start drinking heavily.
Absolutely. All right. We have to at least make the bets first. Let's not make the bets while we're drinking, because that has not.
You know it's
going to
happen, though. You know it's going to happen. We're going to win, or we're going to win all of our games early. We're going to be like, let it ride.
Yep.
Let it ride.
It's going to be a fantastic day. There's going to be football, whiskey, and I will be able to sniff you up and down. I have not taken your musk in many months, and I am looking forward to that.
Oh, it's so bad. I'm drinking all this coffee and eating onions. I smell so bad.
Oh, my God, dude. This morning I had so much coffee because I've been up at 4:30 the past 2 days.
Yeah.
And have you ever caught a whiff of your own coffee breath?
Oh, man, it's
so
bad.
And it's just – it's so bad, and you're like – damn it, is that what I'm doing to everybody I come in contact with? I don't know the answer to that.
So
it's terrible.
Funny story, like Brad, you and for new listeners, you don't know this, regular listeners do. So Brad and I used to work with each other about 10-ish years ago, something like that. And you know, one of these days as I was ascending in my company, we had like one of these strategic meetings and everybody walks in and the president of the company happened to be, it was very rare for this guy to sit in on meetings, but he sat in on the meeting and I ended up like drawing the short straw that day and I sat next to him because nobody wants to sit next to the president in these things. Well, he starts going on like, you know, the vision of the company. He's a very passionate guy. He's a smart guy. I like him. You know, don't get me wrong. I think he's an awesome guy. Well, he gets locked in and I'm looking at him, right? Because I'm sitting next to him. I can't play on my phone. I'm looking at him. He locks eyes with me. It's like nobody else is in the room. He's just talking to me. And he has the worst coffee breath I have ever. It was like he was taking a dump into my nose for about 10 minutes straight. Oh my gosh, it was the worst. That is seared into my mind. I will never forget that because you know, like those really bad smells, it takes you right back. That coffee
breath. It does.
Oof. And I feel bad because I have the worst coffee breath of all. I live off this stuff right now. So
yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, the smell of coffee is fantastic, but for some reason, coming out of somebody's hollow gut. Really distorts it in a disgusting way.
I know, it's so bad. Anyway, let's get to football. You know, before we get in, you know, I did a whole, I did a special edition this week. Actually, we had two special editions. We did one with Baseball Llama, just talked about fantasy baseball and all that stuff. We launched that. That's on YouTube. I also did a Functional Sportsaholic special edition this week, just because, the nuance of preseason and what we're seeing is so much that I can't even fit into a podcast. The special edition, Brad, was literally just me talking, and I talked for 41 minutes of just straight about preseason week two because, you know, fantasy football, gambling, all that stuff, it matters. But high level, man, let's just talk holdouts real quick, not too long, but let's talk about Gordon and Zeke, man. What do you think about the Zeke thing? This, to me, it's getting a little bit out of hand, a little bit dumber than it should be. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's getting a little dumber as well. It's also getting a little bit weird. I mean, Jerry Jones, I don't think he likes it at all. Okay. And I think not that he should like it, but I think he really dislikes what's happening.
Yeah.
And he keeps coming on and with a mic in his face and a camera in his face, and he ends up saying some weird stuff almost in an attempt to play it off like, oh, this is business. We've been here before. Everything is fine. I don't know. I can't remember while we're talking right now what he said the other day, but he made some bizarre analogy.
The analogy, I don't remember, but what I do remember the analogy. It was weird. It was almost like Ursae.
It was like a car accident analogy or something. If you're in the car and you get your hand amputated, I swear to God,
it was a hand
like
amputation. Bleed out, you gotta tie a tourniquet and bleed something. Yes,
that was it. And it was like, what am I listening to? This is weird and it doesn't make any sense. And I think he's acting that way personally, and it's just my opinion.
Yep.
Because he really, really dislikes answering these questions. He wished Zeke's butt was at camp.
Yeah.
But he does not want to pay him when he doesn't think he should, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. Something happened, right? Because at the beginning of training camp, things were just kind of plodding along like the typical holdout, right? Where it's just like, you know, this side is like being quiet, the outside saying, well, you know, we got some good running backs behind us, blah, blah, blah. And then like in the last like maybe week and a half-ish, it's gotten contentious where like now you don't really hear, or I haven't lately heard a lot of Steve Jones comments. I hear a lot of Jerry Jones, which to me seems like Jerry told Steve, hey, I'm taking control. That like it seems like Jerry had enough, and I think it came back from like when Jerry made the oh Zeke who kind of joke, and his camp came out and said it was super disrespectful, and he came out like I think I might have seen it on NFL Network, or I don't remember where I saw it, but basically Jones is just like, I've earned the right to make a joke. Let's get that clear. I earned the right.
Okay, well that yes, I saw that. But that was in reference to when he said Zeke, is it not?
Right.
That dude was not good, and I don't think that was cool at all. What about you?
I didn't
Zeke
care.
Who, man, that's BS. I don't like that at all.
But you know, I saw the clip. I was just like, you know, because it was a kind of the end of the thing. Just like, oh, Zeke, who, almost like making light of like, oh, what's the, you know, what why is Zeke in the news kind of thing. I didn't care about it, but I thought it was like overreact. It, now
like he was just being ironic.
Yeah, like he was just being ironic. It was a big deal. It was
because
ironic.
He is a big deal. Okay, yeah. He was trying to be ironic and not.
Yeah, it wasn't like a oh Zeke
or snarky.
You know, he wasn't being snarky. He was being ironic. But you know, if you read it in print or something, I could see that. I could see that side of it. But having watched the clip, it's just like it was just an end of the.
Okay,
end of the,
I can see that angle.
It was like the last. It was the last question of the interview, and he was just really making light of this really. Sure. Sure, you know, sure. This really,
and I can
situation.
Get that point of view, and I think you may be right with that. But yeah. that proves the original point I made is that he is not comfortable with the thing at all.
No, he's not. Yeah, and it's
and
getting
he's
worse.
He's trying to act like he knows what's up and this is business, but he is not feeling this one bit.
No. And the Jalen Smith signing was almost like a nut kick. Yeah, you know, like,
and that was also a little bizarre. The two of them up on that podium. Did you see that, Sean?
I did,
you know what I'm
man.
Talking about?
I did see it. And he's just like, "There's less pie. There's less pie."
Let yeah. Yeah, it was like the whole thing is just getting so weird, and
it
like
is, man.
It's personal, but it's not, and it's.
You know what we should do? One of the shows, just spitballing here. One of the shows that we should do is like a Saved by the Bell type drama, but where all the characters are NFL billionaires. Uh-huh. You got Bob Kraft getting handies at you know, it's like, you know, he gets suspended from school, like Belding comes in. I bet we can probably get the real Belding in on this show too, because he's not doing anything else anyway.
That is true. Good point. Yeah. Whatever happened to Handy Kraft, man? Is he suspended at all?
No, I actually think the last I heard about that, they had a really good case. His camp had a really good case about getting the charges thrown out. There was some I think
of course
like,
they do. He's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, I know, but no, it wasn't even like billionaire lawyering. It was like lawyering that maybe you could even afford or me I could even afford. It was like they the cops, like the way that they executed the sting, I think the forgive me because I might be completely misrepresenting this, but it was something like the footage that they captured was captured from a technically illegal system or whatever it is, but I think the odds are pretty good that it'll be thrown out and swept under the rug for Mr. Kraft, so we'll see.
Yeah, I would assume that would happen.
Yeah. And let's see. The Zeke thing, I thought all along that Zeke would get back into camp because Dallas, in my opinion, can't win a Super Bowl. And Tony Pollard, look, I watched the preseason 2 stuff. You can hear it on the other clip. I'm sure we'll probably have the videos linked and all that on YouTube. You can also find it on the podcast, Apple Podcasts. It's called The Functional Sportsaholic. But yeah, look, Pollard is a good running back. He looked okay, but let's keep in mind that Tony Pollard was the backup running back at Memphis last year, okay?
Sure.
This is Zeke we're talking about. Zeke opens the Super Bowl
Zeke
window.
Zeke is good. Zeke is a very, yeah. very good running back. I yeah. would give you that 100%. And with him, they're obviously better than without.
Yep. So by the end of the season, I think this gets done. But with this kind of bitchiness going back and forth, it's only going to extend this holdout. And, you know, this might be a situation where Zeke comes back at week 9, you know, like just to get his league year in. I don't like it. And then Gordon on the other side, as we've talked about, Brad, if I'm the Chargers GM, I don't see why I pay Gordon. You know, like Eckler to me can be as good. We talked about this last week, so I don't have to go too far into this. Eckler to me can have the same kind of impact that James Conner did last year in Pittsburgh when Bell held out. And so Gordon, you know, that's why I think he's asked for the trade. I think he knows that the Chargers won't pay him. That one could go until week 9 as well, just so he gets his league year in. I'm worried about that one, more so from a fantasy point of view. But listen, everybody, if you draft Zeke, make sure you draft Pollard as a handcuff. If you draft Gordon, make sure you draft Eckler as a handcuff. Even if you don't draft Gordon, it's good to have Eckler because I think he could be the long-term starter there because I really do think Gordon ends up traded. I just don't think the contract situation is going to work out the way he wants to. Or he'll leave in free agency or something like that. But
Yeah, he may leave. I mean, the problem is Chargers and Cowboys, their situation is apples and oranges because Rivers is the type of quarterback that can actually lead a team, right?
Yep.
And Dallas, so far, that's not Dak Prescott.
So far.
Possibly he gets there, but we've seen, what, 3-4 years of him already?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, depending on what statistics you look at, you know, Dak looks impressive, or you could use the statistics and make the argument. You know, you could say, oh, games with Zeke, without Zeke. You know, you can basically make the statistics for Dak look any way we want. Whereas if you look at the statistics for like a Tom Brady, right, apples and oranges there, or Philip Rivers, let's just say. If you look at the statistics for Philip Rivers, they always line up. Hey, that's good. So Dak, to me, look, he's going to get paid. He's going to get his money, sure. But you and I agree, Brad. Like, he's not a super. He's not a guy that can throw the Cowboys on his back and win the Super Bowl. I think they need Zeke there, and I think they're a very real Super Bowl threat this year with Zeke
right,
in.
Right,
so that's why I think even with the bitchiness, it has to get done at some point.
Sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
No. You go.
So the difference between Prescott and, let's say, Philip Rivers is, Philip Rivers is the type of quarterback, if he had to throw for 420 yards and for four touchdowns to win, he is going to do that.
Yep.
You know, and you don't know if you can get that from Dak. You know, it's just like, it's not his game. You know, he's more of a manager, and he's a good one.
He is.
You know, he's a very good one, but is he going to be able to, you know, bring him back from 21 points down? With 1.5 quarters left, you know, but you know Rivers could absolutely do it. You know, Brees could absolutely do it. And even if you're up 3 touchdowns on them in the third quarter, you're still terrified that it's going to happen because it can.
Yep. You're right. You're absolutely right. So, but you know, Dak is younger. I do think he is on the ascension, though. It's not like I think that he's a lost, like when we talk about like Mariota. Right?
Yes.
Like Mariota to me is what he is. I think Dak is on
promise,
the ascension.
He has potential. Yep. I'm with you on that for sure. And it's not even, I'm not even trying to say I don't like him. I do like him. And I think he's a good dude. I think he's a good character. And I think he can get better for sure.
Yep. All right, Brett. So let's go ahead and talk about AFC West. Do our previews here. I've actually, you know, I've watched so much preseason. I don't even have my notes in front of me because I was kind of going before the show. I was like, yeah, I can talk about them. So off the cuff, but here we go. So Bavada, let me just hit you with it. We go alphabetical here. We're going to start talking about Denver over under, Brad, 7 wins.
Oh boy, 7 wins. See, this is a tough one because, you know, there's San Diego and there's Kansas City in their divisions. So
LA Chargers, the LA, I know, it's a tick.
I did it again.
I know. Yeah, but yeah, you got the Chargers, you got Kansas City, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, I would have to go with an under there, man. I think, you know, I was just saying how much I believe in Joe Flacco and I think he's better than most. But, you know, based on their division, I'm going to go with under. You?
I got to go over, man. So everything I'm seeing in the preseason, look, Fangio came over from Chicago. They famously piloted, you know, those Bears defenses. They've just been great for a long time. Fangio finally gets a chance in Denver. And, you know, one of my big gripes about hiring the defensive coordinator is like, okay, yeah, but what kind of offensive coordinator are you going to hire? You're going to do like the thing that Wilkes did last year in Arizona and hire like freaking Mike freaking McCoy to run the offense? Or what are you going to do? Well, they actually, Elway and Fangio, they went out and they hired a really young kind of up-and-coming type guy, a guy who's bounced around college and the NFL, but he runs the Shanahan system, which you would expect for, you know, of course, Elway to kind of harken back to his old days, his successful days. I've been watching this team. Denver had a good defense last year when they didn't have an offense to support them. They have Von Miller. They have Chubb over, you know, basically wreaking havoc in the defensive line. They have good people in coverage. This defense translates pretty well from a talent point of view to Chicago's defense last year. You know, you got the Von Miller and Chubb kind of taking the place of Khalil Mack, right? Chicago's defense is very talented. Denver's defense is pretty darn good. And so I look at that team, I think they're going to be hard to score on. And I thought that they were kind of hard to score on last year, honestly. Like from a fantasy point of view, that defense is pretty good. Then I look at the offense, and you just said, like we were talking about Flacco. I don't think he's as bad. Like he gets criticized because he signed a big contract like 6 years ago. He's not that bad, and he's at 17 mil. That's a pretty decent contract for what he's doing. But here's the thing, man. This Shanahan offense, I can see that they can run the ball. They have Philip Lindsay. They have Royce Freeman. I like both of them. My only hesitation from them from being fantasy stars is that they have each other on the team. So I don't know what the snap distribution is going to be. To me, Philip Lindsay is electric. You know, he's a very good talent. The more they keep him on the field, the better they're going to be. I don't know what the personnel groupings are going to look like. I haven't gotten a beat on that yet. But they're going to be able to run the ball. And Flacco, dude, like Emmanuel Sanders came back. I don't know what hyperbaric chamber or what stem cell implants. I think he blew out his Achilles like halfway through the season last year. He's back. And he looked incredible in week 2 preseason. He looked just as electric as he does, like always has. Flacco's hitting him on deep routes. And of course, he didn't play that much, but Flacco looked as sharp as he did last preseason before his injury basically took. And Flacco early in this year, in the year last year, before Lamar Jackson took over, wasn't that bad. So you got Flacco, who's kind of dialed in, has a chip on his shoulder. You got Sanders back. You have Cortland Sutton. You have Phillip Lindsay. You have Royce Freeman. And you have a young tight end in Noah Fant that I like. Dude, this team, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying that, but 8-8 for this team, a team that can play defense, a team that has the home field advantage in Mile High Stadium, a team that can run the ball at any time of year, cold weather, warm weather, and a team that can hit their tight end, they can hit deep routes, and they can hit short passes. I have a hard time saying this team's less than 8-8. I really do, man. They look freaking good.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah,
I mean, it's just, look, I know the division. I think Kansas City, we'll get to Kansas City and L.A. a little bit, and I still like those teams quite a bit, and I think those teams are in Super Bowl windows, you know, regardless of Melvin Gordon's situation. But, you know, Denver's good, man. They're good. This is a really good division. It's another freaking really good division. So I'm taking a lot of overs this year, but I can't go under on this team. I just can't.
Yeah, I respect that, man. You know, and I've been – maybe I had a little bit of a bias because I feel like I've gone over too much.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, and
– We have gone over quite a bit, but there's a lot to like about these things, you know.
Well, this is funny because, you know, they're a good team. It's not that I think they're a bad team, but I was just basing it around the other teams that they have to play regularly, you know, and it's not going to be so easy.
It isn't. It isn't going to be an easy schedule for them. Let's move it on to Kansas City. Let's see. Bovada has met 10.5 wins Kansas City this year. They did lose some pieces on defense, but they also have a new defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo, who you know, famously coached the Giants' defensive line to that Super Bowl upset of the Patriots in the 17-1 season.
Okay, yeah. Well, I would have to go over, man, because I think they're fantastic. You know, I mean, if I had to go one way or the other, I would bet on them actually, you know, squeaking those one or two games out as opposed to losing them.
Yeah, you got Mahomes. I watched preseason. Look, for a team like Kansas City, I don't put a lot of stock into it. Usually I'm watching ones versus ones, see if the offensive and defensive lines are getting good push on against each other. But Mahomes, we saw what he could do. Is he going to get 50 touchdown passes again? I would say no, just because nobody's ever done it 2 years in a row.
I'm with you.
But,
I'm
you know,
yeah, but he,
I think he'll get more than 40.
Awesome.
I think he'll get more than 40. I think he'll run for, you know.
Yeah, you know, I feel, that's likely. It's very likely that he gets 40 and above.
Yep. I'm over two. I think it's hard to believe this Kansas City team finishing 10-6. I think it's 11-5 or higher. More likely 12-4, 13-3. Andy Reid's a great coach. Mahomes blew everybody away, including you and me in the podcast last year. I mean, he's just amazing. But here's the thing about this Kansas City offense. They can run the ball. I still think Damian Williams is better than his average draft position in fantasy sports right now. I think Damian Williams, you know, there's a lot of talk about committee, about Carlos Hyde coming in, about the youngsters coming in and playing different roles. Look, you know, I think Damian Williams is going to get the lion's share of the snaps. Yeah, he might come off the field, but hey, so did Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt gave some snaps away to like Spencer Ware and, you know, guys like that, Chikandrick West or whatever. You know, I think Williams will come off the field, but he can run, he can catch. Carlos Hyde looked fine, but this team can move the ball. At receiver, Tyreek Hill, everybody knows about him. He has now moved to number one on my board. In my proprietary analytics, I don't really publish the competitive advantage score just because a lot of people, really it's polarizing, so a lot of people actually give me more negative comments on my analytics, so that's why I don't, you know, publish those types of things. But basically, long story short, everybody, Tyreek Hill is the number one player on my competitive advantage board by like a factor. He's so far and away above everybody else that like the next best person might be Saquon Barkley and at like a 4 and Hill is like in a 19. So that just gives you he's like 500% better than the second place guy. Now that's not to say he's number one overall on my board. I wouldn't draft him number one overall on my board. If you look at the average draft position, I think a good place to take him is somewhere in the second round. But I love Hill. But here's the interesting thing, Brad. So I know you don't watch a ton of preseason or any preseason, and I don't blame you for that, by the way, because it can be brutal. But Kansas City this year has drafted a guy, Mecole Hardman. Basically, he's a clone of Tyreek Hill. He's fast. Mm. He's already returning kicks in preseason. And he, in my opinion, is going to overtake Sammy Watkins for that wide receiver two role this year. There are going to be packages this year. Well, they have Tyreek Hill, who everybody says is like could be the fastest player in the NFL. Well, Hardman might be faster. And they can have him on the other side. He's already starting to rack up like stats in the preseason against the twos and everything. they're going to have those two at the field at the same time to go with Mahomes, to go with Williams, to go with Hyde, right, to go right, with Kelsey. Right. You can't stop.
How do you find all these guys, man? All these just fast athletes.
Oh, my gosh.
Just flock to Kansas City. What is that?
I know, man. And I feel like, you know, with the offseason drama with Hill, I think Kansas City is like, look, we need some insurance here. We need a guy that can fit this mold. And now they have basically Tyreek Hill insurance. So if he comes out, if he has more issues and Kansas City needs to cut ties with him like they did with Hunt last year, they can do that and not be up a creek. I like it, man. I like everybody on this team. I do. If you're in a dynasty league, I think Hardman is my favorite receiver. If you're in a keeper league, like a deep keeper league, you know, snap him up. Hill, like I said, I think, you know, he has wide receiver, or he has number one overall type talent, but you're going to be able to get him in round two this year. I like Williams. You know, he's going in the fourth and fifth round. I think he's like a third rounder all day, in my opinion. So like, you know, I had one of my readers email me saying, hey, you know, what do you think if I end up with Hill and Williams on the team? What, you know, how do you feel about that? I'm like, look, you know, I like to diversify. But, you know, if you look at that greatest show on turf years ago, if you had Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk on the same team, you're going to the fantasy championship. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe you run up against a good defense and they don't put up crazy points. But this is a team last year, Brad, that in the AFC championship game was shut out in the first half, and they still put up points on the Patriots in the second half, you know.
They're gonna
get theirs. So you can get, you know, surround your team with Chiefs for a like here. You know, I'm not usually the one to say that, but – man,
they're gonna get it, man. They're you know what? And it's funny when you say we talk about the Rams' greatest show on turf. It's gonna remind me of that. I feel.
Yeah.
You know,
50 touchdowns, and they got a lot of rushing touchdowns. Man, they're freaking good. They're just good.
Really
fun to watch.
Really good. Really explosive at any moment, man.
Yep. Let's move it on to the Chargers. Let's see, over under Bavada, 9.5 wins for the season for the Chargers.
I'm gonna have to go over, man. We go with the over. I like Phillip, dude.
You got to, man. I know it's a tough schedule. I'm over 3-for-3 at this point in this division. But, you know, Phillip Rivers, with or without Gordon, I don't care. They're going to be able to move the ball. I thought Eckler, when Gordon was out, did really well. Jackson, who is the third string running back, plays pretty well as well. I think he actually started one or two games at the end of the year and scored quite well in fantasy teams. So, you know, again, if you're, I said this earlier in the podcast, but if you're going to draft Gordon, just make sure you get Eckler. And he's somebody I'll be looking at because I really do think he could be starting more than half the season here, if not the whole season. And if you're in a keeper league, he could be somebody that you know, a lot of these leagues, Brad, you draft guys in the 10th round, and you have to keep them at the round you drafted last year. So if you have a starting running back in L.A., for the Chargers that you drafted in like the 10th round this year in 2020, that's great value, man. So I think that's all good. Go ahead and take him. Phillip Rivers, you know, I had somebody that told me that they got Phillip Rivers in the 14th round. This is why I'm a big proponent now of waiting on quarterback. If you can get somebody that can put up Phillip Rivers like stat lines in the 14th round this year, then wait on your quarterback. Wait, you know, draft him. I like Keenan Allen. You know, Mike Williams looks like he'll be a factor. You know, he has a body that's really imposing. I think he'll be good now that Tyrell Williams is in Oakland. But to me, I feel like, you know, Travis Benjamin is not a wide receiver three, and they're kind of playing him. I really feel like Hunter Henry is going to ascend. I just moved him up in my rankings because of that. So yeah, man, there's a lot to like. Again, you know, it's hard for me to envision, as we're in January, Brad, looking at the standings and seeing a 10-6 Kansas City team. I think they're 11-5 or better. It's hard for me to envision the Chargers with this defense and the ability on offense to be under 10 wins. I just think they got to be over. I think they got to at least be 10-6, so I'm going to take them there.
Yeah, and think about this. We're both saying the over, and they haven't signed their running back yet, one of their best players.
Yeah.
And we're still confident about the over.
Very good point. Very good point. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that brings us, man, to the Raiders. The
lowly
Raiders.
Can I guess this over under?
Guess what the line is. Yeah. Bavada has them at spread.
Do they do half points? Is that possible?
They do half. They do half.
They do half points. So I'm going to say 5.5.
It's 6.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been my other guess had you said, no, they don't do half points. Partial credit for me.
Yep, there you go. So what do you think, Brad, over or under?
I'm going to go under. Dumpster fire, tire fire on the sideline.
You know, I've been watching this team. The first team is playing well, but, you know, it's one of those situations where I don't feel like I don't feel like they have the depth yet. You know, they're rebuilding the roster. I just don't feel like they have the depth yet. So while their first team is good, and I used to watch the Redskins do this year after year after year in the preseason, their ones looked good against opposing teams once, but once they got in the twos and the threes, it just didn't really look that great to me. And I think the same situation here. And so basically early in the season, I think they'll be a tough out. They might win some games, but once, you know, some of these nagging injuries start to happen, you know, especially on the offensive and defensive line and the depth starts to hurt a little bit, that's when teams are like, hey, you know, you can't just play for, this isn't Madden. You can't turn injuries off, right? You have to play the backups, and that depth really matters in the offensive and defensive lines, in the trenches. And my big question mark is with Carr, right? And so here's where it comes down to. If you told me, if future Sean or future Brad comes down and magically appears right now, and they say, this is future Sean, I'm letting you know that Derek Carr was able to push the ball downfield, and he would throw, you know, Antonio Brown was running fly routes, and he was covered, you know, one-on-one coverage, or, you know, he had the safety in cover two coming up, and he would, Derek Carr is throwing the ball into coverage deep down the field. If you told me that Carr did that, I would take the over here. I would. I think they could have like a 7-9, 8-8 season and be on an upward trend, even in this tough division.
Yeah, okay.
But,
well, I guess only because go ahead.
I was going to say, but I don't think Carr, we've talked about this on the podcast, I don't think Carr right now, I think he has this mental block where he's taking the safe passes, almost like a Brad Johnson did way back in the day, where he's kind of dinking and dunking. And I say this, and I look back to last year where Amari Cooper, before he was traded, was streaking wide open down the field, and he would take kind of the safe route. And Derek Carr wants to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and sometimes he doesn't let the full route develop. Or if he's looking, you know, and he sees Brown has one-on-one coverage. And taking a little bit of a step back, this is how Bill Belichick beat Peyton Manning so often in the playoffs. Peyton Manning was kind of like a computer-like quarterback. And so Belichick would give them basically the three-yard crossing route all day and take his chances on a fourth and one versus, letting Peyton Manning kind of pick him apart deep down the field. That's what Belichick did.
Sure.
And I feel like Derek Carr, he's not making the wrong decision, but he's not taking advantage of the talent on the field sometimes. So if he sees a back in the flat open for a two-yard gain, maybe he'd take that throw instead of looking and see Antonio Brown. Yeah, maybe it's cover two. Maybe the safety will get over. Maybe he won't. It's not worth the risk. Let me take the running back. Whereas Ben Roethlisberger's just like, screw it, I'm just going to throw it to Antonio Brown. And so,
well, you know, okay, so maybe Antonio Brown is exactly the type of quarterback, or sorry, wide receiver, that Derek Carr needs to get out of this little funk, because as soon as Antonio Brown's open one or twice and he ain't getting the ball, boy, is Derek Carr going to hear about it, right?
He is going to hear about
it. So he better ship up or shape out or something or whatever, and believe, the hell.
Not only that, but Carr's going to hear about it from Gruden, too. Let's be real about this. Gruden, already heard a little bit of snippets. Like Gruden, you know, I've been watching Hard Knocks just like everybody else. Gruden's being, you know, a little bit more complimentary and everything. But if Carr misses Antonio Brown streaking wide open, I'm talking, if I had Antonio Brown on my team, one-on-one coverage, I'd still throw it up. And that's what Roethlisberger was doing, right? And that's why they had great chemistry. We'll just see where it goes. I just think that there's, I'm not trying to like throw shade or anything. I really believe this. Like once Derek Carr got his injury, I feel like he should have gone to a sports psychologist, because I feel like he wants to get rid of the ball quickly and not get re-injured. And, you know, maybe that's something, you hear this and see about, you know, it takes a year or something like that to come back from an ACL tear. You just mentally, it's physically you're ready. It's mentally that takes the longer time. I feel like Derek Carr just needs to let the ball downfield. Now, let me just say, I'm going to take the under here, but again, if future Sean came here and said, hey, you know, Derek Carr, he pushed through it and he threw the ball downfield, I would take the over here. So to me, I'm only taking the under because I don't think Derek Carr will just throw the ball up for grabs to Antonio Brown. And that's why. And so that's why I'm a little bit down on Antonio Brown for fantasy this year with respect to his average draft position. That's why I'm not really buying the hype on Derek Carr right now as a fantasy quarterback. Yes, he has weapons. Not really buying it. Josh Jacobs, by the way, at running back, he's going to have a lot of opportunity in this offense. I was hot and cold on him because he was slow. He ran slow, but hey, so did Jerry Rice, you know, on his 40-yard dash.
Right.
Once you start to see these guys in pads and how quick they are in pads, I mean, he might be a 4.6 in pads too, whereas other guys might be, you know, add an extra tenth. You never really know. He looked better to me. You know, he looked good. He looked like he's going to be a good NFL running back. What I want to see is if he can outrun people. I didn't really see that, but you know, that's because he didn't really have the opportunity to show it. So I am higher on Josh Jacobs. I'm not as high as the rest of the fantasy world is. I'm not buying the hype. I think, you know, be measured about him because he still does carry a little bit of risk, but he does carry a ton of opportunity in the system, and this system is begging for a three down back, and he could fulfill that role. Antonio Brown, like I said, is I'm hot and cold on him. Tyrell Williams, I'm also hot and cold on him. I do like the young tight end that they have coming up, number 83. I think it's Waller. He was an ex-Raven. He was featured this week on Hard Knocks. But, you know, this tight end, we saw it with Jared Cook last year. Look, a tight end's going to produce. We saw, what's his face? The guy that just got sent away to prison, Brad. Who was that tight end in Tampa Bay, the really loud guy? He was the son
of... Winslow?
Winslow, yeah. All I could think about was O.J. Howard. Yeah, Kellen Winslow was big with Gruden back in the day. I think Waller has a really, really, really good chance to pop and be a great... I guess you can't really call him a deep sleeper at this point. He's more of a sleeper because he's starting to get the hype. But, you know, later in your draft, if you need a tight end, if you went running back and wide receiver early, as I'm going to, then throw a pick towards Waller's way, because this offense, we saw it last year with Cook, man. Waller will have a chance. And last week, I think Waller was wide open for a touchdown, and Glennon overthrew him, and then later in the game, they hit a tight end on a touchdown. Like, they like throwing fades to tight ends in this offense. So that opportunity is going to be there. So there you go. There's the AFC West for you. If you could, everybody out there, subscribe to us. It helps. It helps us grow. Comment, you know, send us a tweet. Leave a comment. If you're watching on YouTube, show us what you think. Show us how you feel. I know the Raiders people are going to be like, oh, of course you're running over, blah, blah, blah. And I don't blame you because you guys have faith that Carr is going to push the ball downfield. I don't. I'm a little bit more measured on that. I wouldn't wager my money on it. But, hey, I really wouldn't. I really wouldn't argue.